Ons vir jou, wat nou? Where the manna will discuss and cover all relevant topics and questions you might have on areas such as paspoorte, international rules and retirement, as well as internationale gesprekke with SAFA besigheidseienaars and restaurante abroad. Welcome to Season 3, Bits and Bobs.
Hi, and welcome back to yet another season and a new episode. We're already in, season 3 and episode 3 of Ons Voor Jou. And in today's episode of Bits and Bobs, Edwin had a very cool conversation with Andrew and Lizette and their journey to living a slower lifestyle in Italy. Edwin, how's life?
Buongiorno, Corey. No, it was good to have the conversation with Lizette and Andrew. Honestly, you would hear on the you know, while we had it, that, you know, there were times where I really listened and I forgot to really prepare the next question because I was just, it was just a fascinating discussion. And it's really motivating as well, because we've had, myself and Levin, we also have these dreams of maybe living a slower life somewhere in the future in a different country again, or maybe in the Netherlands or somewhere else. I'm not sure, but really to get out of the rat race and to hear that there are other people doing it and that it's not as easy, you know, the front up, you know, there's a lot of work and a lot of research that goes into it. You know, can for some people be demotivating, but that actually just motivates me because, you know, there are ways of getting into whatever lifestyle you want to be and whatever expat lifestyle you want to choose for yourself and your family.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think something that stood out for me, because I obviously also had a sneak peek into the discussion. And normally you have all these when you go into Instagram or whatever, you see these quotes and things about chasing your dream. And normally it's connected to bigger, better, faster, higher, the six-figure salary, those type of things, and the challenges you have there. But the same is true for the flip side. It also has a lot of challenges to try and not be part of this rat race. And I find that so, actually inspirational on how people also chase that side, because if you're able to and you can escape it and really just go back to what you deem quality of life, that's quite cool. And I mean, they've had their challenges as well, from what I heard, but it's also a very interesting story. So it was really cool also to hear how they integrated, how they are making their own pastas, and how they got they call it adopted by Italian family to sort of learn the ropes over there. So that was quite interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the main theme that stands out for me is actually, you know, they've moved to a lifestyle that gives them, you know, in certain terms, a better life in terms of their relationships with one another, with their daughter as well, with other people around them. And they've fell in love with Italy, and it's not without challenges, but they are facing it head on. But it's so cool. It's something alternative. And I hope the listener also views it from that way, and that, you know, from that perspective at least. And it doesn't have to be Italy, but maybe you've got dreams to, you know, beach somewhere in Bali or somewhere in the Pacific Island or some other southern European country or whatever it might be. It's really just motivational. And also I want to encourage you, listen to the end. Lizette shares some Instagram and blog details, website details where you can find them. Go and check it out.
Awesome. Yeah, I think just to hook onto that, I think their website is whatsinitaly.com. Just mentioning it now already so that people can hear it twice. I think it's really interesting episode, but let's not go into too much detail so everyone can hear it for themselves. So before we jump into that, I think today is your turn for the SAFA index. So I'm curious as to what price for which object you're going to hear.
Welcome to the SAFA index.
It's not an object. I actually thought of doing mozzarella or parmigiano or something that that suits with the episode. Yeah. But what I did go for is a Spotify premium individual account.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So, yeah, so I thought it's a good one.
Yeah, I
and
think
there's
it
a common
is.
Common theme at the end that I want to actually get to, you know, or that really surprised me. But yeah. So, to start it off, you know, what country do you think is the cheapest out of the countries that we normally cover? South Africa, UAE, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Netherlands, USA, or the UK?
I'm going to say probably, wow, I don't know. I'm going to go for South Africa just because I think that's in currency and conversion and cost of living. They've probably adjusted it. But I'm thinking you're going to say I'm wrong.
No, you're right. And that's true. But the, you know, how much, that really surprised me. So starting off with South Africa, then it comes in at $59.99. So for a 60 Rand for a premium individual account currently in South Africa. I needed to check various sources because that's really cheap per month for a Spotify account without adverts. That's really cheap. So I checked a few sources. But then after that, so UAE, if I convert it in, it's these are July rates, by the way, and then convert it at today's currency back to Rand. 94 Rand, Canada at 133, Australia 138, New Zealand 154, the Netherlands clocking it at 180 or 178 actually, and USA at 183. And then the UK, even though the pound has had its battles, is clocking over 200 at a 206 Rand if you had to convert it back to Rands. So that's pretty expensive. And then there are countries that's more expensive, but it's out of our, you know, the countries that we look at, and those are, again, Denmark and Norway. Everything there is expensive. But in any case, so the common theme that I've picked up here is South Africa is so much cheaper. But then I also read up a little bit further is that they're really trying to still buy the market there. They're still really trying to get their foot into the market there. So there's probably other podcast platforms that's more that people favor in South Africa, or potentially podcasts are also not that big in South Africa, but also Spotify is also a music platform, or it's rather known for its music. So it's quite strange that it's so cheap in South Africa. But yeah, there you have it. That's the SAFA Index, Spotify individual premium plan. And so there you go.
Thanks. Yeah, that was an interesting one. I must say the UK is quite expensive, but good on you if you're in South Africa and you can... I think if you're planning to go over, maybe you can get an account on that side and then come across, and then you probably have a year worth of cheap Spotify. So good work.
Exactly. Or I'm not sure how the VPNs work, then maybe you can still keep
it. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Anyway, done with that stuff.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, let's give it a listen. Very interesting episode that lies ahead. And kom ons luister wat hulle vir ons dis wat julle bespreek het.
Thanks, Corey.
How's that?
Okay, I'm sitting here with Andrew and Lizette around the virtual microphone tonight. And they are in Italy, but I'm not going to say too much. I'm going to let them do the talking. So, Andrew, Lizette, welcome. Thanks for being on the show and thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, where are you exactly based?
So we are, the best way to describe it, we're in Northern Italy, and we're about an hour away from Modena. That's our nearest biggest city, and Modena is known for its slow food and fast cars. It's also home of Enzo Ferrari, and we're about 40 minutes from the Ferrari Museum. Luckily, we're both Ferrari fans. That works well. We're about 2.5 hours from Milan, Florence, Venice. So up in the north, in the mountains, the Apennino Mountains.
Yeah, we stay in a small town called Tuano. So the population is roughly 900 people. We kind of in the countryside, in the mountains. Our nearest neighbors is probably a couple hundred meters away from our house. So we're quite secluded, full of nature.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. So you've quite a lot in that first intro. The one thing that I just quickly want to touch on before getting into details. So you are Ferrari fans, so the weekend was probably not the best weekend ever when when Mark secured the title.
No, it was hard. It's hard. It's been a heartbreaking season. Ferrari has broken our hearts again.
But they are on the comeback, you know. And yes. Yeah. So let's see. Maybe next year will be a close title race. Perhaps. Yes. You never know. You never know.
We hope.
But what I heard in your intro that we also want to get to. So I did open up Google Maps here as you spoke, and I'm going to look up the town. But the first thing that I want to just get to is slow living. And I think your Instagram, just correct me if I'm wrong, chasing slow living or hashtag chasing slow living, and in Italy. And you know, Italy seems like the perfect country for slow living in a way, or at least where you guys are in the mountains. Tell me a little bit more about slow living and what is that? And before we get, and then afterwards we'll get to why actually Italy and why you guys moved to Italy and how and all of the details.
Yeah, I think slow living for us is kind of a lifestyle that we were yearning for coming from Johannesburg. We wanted a more sustainable way of living, you know, growing our own food, not every day going to Woolies to get your groceries and those kind of things, which is nice. We do miss that. But we really wanted to kind of get away from that rat race, get out of corporate, grow our own food, and just be a little bit closer and more connected to nature. So I think for me, in a way, that is slow living, and that's what we're chasing. And the place where we live in Italy is renowned for everything here takes a long time for it to become the amazing thing that you now know it is, from Parmigiano cheese to balsamic vinegar to Parma ham, what they call here prosciutto. All those things take time. So the best things in life take time. So we kind of wanted that also to, we wanted to slow down. We wanted to kind of just catch our breath and just be more in tune with nature and with ourselves. And yeah.
But okay, Joburg. So where, or Johannesburg, where, what did you guys do there? And where did you live there?
Andrew?
So we lived in Parkhurst in Johannesburg. So quite a nice suburb. We enjoyed the area quite a lot. But from it was a corporate mindset that we want to change slightly. So my background is business analysis, IT projects, implementations, that type of thing. So we kind of wanted to tone that down and spend more time with our daughter, and also have a vegetable patch, as Lizette said, some chickens on the side, and just some. We initially thought about a couple of cows, but that's hardcore. That's every day of the year. So we put that on hold for now. But essentially, we want to move away from the rat race.
Yeah.
And, you know, wasn't there the opportunity to do it in South Africa? So let's just cover the basis in South Africa.
Well, that, I think that's, you know, that's where our thinking started first, was we kind of had this discussion with each other. You know, we were about 4 years away from 40 then, so this was about probably 2017 or 2016, that we thought, you know, what we're doing and the way we're living, yes, we have a great lifestyle, we live in a nice suburb, we have great friends, but at what cost? So we were just kind of being honest with ourselves, you know, what is that costing us in terms of the hours Andrew was working, and I had a business that I was closing down, and we said, okay, so what do we really want? We want to slow down. We started actually talking about maybe moving to the garden route, and yeah, so that kind of thought started kind of, it planted a seed, and we knew we wanted to take a break. So we decided we're going to take a month off, both of us from work. A friend of ours had a house in Italy, a friend from South Africa. And we said to her, can we rent your house for a month? We just want to take a break. We need to kind of reset and rethink a few things. Can we rent your house? And we're going to do that over there. And that's not with the mindset of going to Italy, to move to Italy. We just wanted a reset.
What year was that?
That was 2017.
Yes. Okay, so that's in 2017. So the discussions happened then, and then the break happened then. And okay, so let's get to that. So you arrived there, and for that month, what did you actually do in Italy? And where was that? I'm just looking on the map again, so I'll be able to visualize it as you speak.
So this was actually in the town that we live now in Tuano, and we are actually still renting her house.
Okay, awesome.
All this time. So we ended up in Tuano, which is completely off the beaten track. If anyone else in South Africa has been here, I would be surprised. And I think we went on a walk, and we came across some of the cows that they use the milk for parmigiano, what they call parmigiano reggiano here, and what we know in South Africa as parmesan cheese. And I remember they were milking the cows, and Andrew turned to me and he said, you know what, I'd rather be milking this cow than go back home and look at another Excel sheet.
Well, I tend to feel the same, and I haven't even looked at a cow in the last few days, but I might just join you milking cows. Had one of those days where Excel sheets ruled my day. Okay, so that's 2017. But now you are there. You visited then on a Schengen visa, I assume.
Yes,
South African passport.
Travel visa.
And then did you travel back to South Africa after that month?
Yes. So we went back to our normal lives. I returned to my work. Andrew returned to his. But we kind of knew in that month, you know, spending that time together, just having the time to spend with our daughter, who was then 5 or 6 years old at the time, we were like, well, this is actually the kind of lifestyle we would like to live. Or we knew, we still didn't know Italy, but we knew we wanted to make the change. So we were kind of that holiday was kind of just a catalyst to get us, okay, so where next? What lies ahead for us? And we got home, started researching, what would it, you know, can we do bike routes on the garden tour? What can we really do to change our lives, you know, and to grow things, to just have a more sustainable way of living? Yeah. But yeah.
And we the factors that we kind of looked at from a garden route is affordability, safety, longevity type things. And not all those tick boxes we were able to tick.
Yeah.
So with that said, we had some conversations with our friend that actually owns this house that we're living in. And she suggested, why not Italy?
And we just thought, no, we could not move to Italy. We don't have any ancestry. Like we're proper, you know, embedded in South African history. My family, you know, is Dutch from 500 years ago or 400 years ago. We have no immediate European ancestry that could get us here. So we said, not possible. But she planted enough of a seed for me to go into a research kind of
frenzy.
And in the end, we were like, wait, there's a way we can get here.
So that's what I want to get to now, is that way, you know. Firstly, congrats on having that, you know, in Afrikaans, the beautiful word, deursettingsvermoë, to actually, you know, you can start researching and the seed might be planted, but then actually to take action to get to a point where you realize, okay, there are possibilities and I might be able to actually do it, even though it seemed impossible. So eventually you guys went, but on, you know, how did you get the, you know, especially the visa? I assume that you're not there on a Schengen visa anymore. So what was that process? On what visa are you there? And once you got, you know, enough research under the belt, what was the next steps that you took?
So at the moment we have residency. You know, we have to apply for it every year in Italy, and only after 10 years will we have the option to apply for citizenship. So that's the, that is how we are here. It's called a permesso di soggiorno. It means our permission to stay. So that's kind of now our visa. That's how we enter the country, and that's how we allow to travel throughout the EU, and we need to renew that every year. That's one thing. So that's the thing, is how we're staying here.
How did you qualify for that in the first place?
It's called a type D visa. On a Schengen form, you will usually, if you are traveling for a 3-month period to Europe, you will see type C visa. So we are here on a type D visa, and that could mean many things. It could mean you're here for an academic school year. It could mean you are here employed by a company. And we, kind of the subsection that we applied through was called self-employment. Autonomous. It was an autonomous visa. It's called autonomous. But we had to submit.
So we needed to say, why are we doing it? So what will our income be in the country?
Yes.
And
what work will we do?
So we said we want to actually open a B&B, have like an experience, the slow food type environment. And then we roped in, or we consulted with a couple that has been doing this for 13 years.
Who has been living, an American couple,
So we had a couple of sessions with them just to kind of understand the landscape, how will things work. And also, if you run a B&B, what's the practicalities of a B&B? You've got a daughter, you've got school runs, how do you get the guests, etc. Yeah. So we kind of got to learn the ropes a bit. And then we knew that with our application, we need to submit a business plan, balance sheets, income statements.
Yeah.
So Italy is renowned for paperwork.
Yeah.
So you need to really want to move to Italy to go through that process.
Yes. It was a lot of research, and we needed to get a lawyer on this side. We opted not to get, a lot of people move to whichever country they're moving to with an immigration lawyer if it's this difficult. We opted not to, because an English-speaking immigration lawyer would be in Rome, and we are moving to the north of Italy. So we really wanted someone from where we were staying. We were very lucky that we ended up with an accountant and a lawyer who kind of were patient enough to go through the process and learn the process with us, driving to different municipalities to get the forms, finding out what forms. So they would communicate with us. Listen, we now need to get this form. We need you to send this from South Africa. And then we would go through the consulate, have things stamped. It was, how long did it take? About 2 years? It was about a 2-year process to get our visa. Yeah.
But now, if that was a 2-year process, just quick math, tell me that 2017, that puts you very close to COVID pandemic time. Were you were you then there at the time when COVID broke out, or so, only after?
So there's a small thing that happened. So we sold our house in December 2019.
We moved out of our house 2019.
So got our container packed, all those things. And then we had our tickets for the 1st of April to fly out of Joburg to Italy.
1st of April 2020.
Yes.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
a couple of weeks before that date, and we moved into an Airbnb for those 3 months. So a couple of weeks before that, our friend in Italy here phoned us. She's a doctor. Okay. And she said, listen, it's really bad on the ground, because that's before it was big news in the world. It was only Italy at that point in time.
Yeah.
So she said, listen, they've got additional wards. The ICU is overflowing. It's not looking good. Do not come.
Yeah, we should not come. Yeah.
So we had discussions. Said, listen, let's just chance it. And we said, let's still try it, because our flights were in a couple of weeks. And that same weekend,
on the 9th of March, she phoned us and she said, I really think you should not come. And on the 10th of March, that Monday or Sunday, Italy closed its borders.
So completely. It wasn't possible.
So it wasn't possible. We were We were stuck, and a few days later, I think a week later, South Africa closed its borders, yes. And we were stuck. In our Airbnb, we couldn't get here. We didn't have job. we didn't have a place to live. We barely had jobs. Andrew managed to get his job back in a way, and it was tough because we didn't know when we would be able. Yeah. To come or what was going to happen.
So we ended up staying in the Airbnb for 7 months. Yes. And a bit longer than planned.
a little bit. Lizette,
and Lizette loves her research or finding out solutions. So she said, listen, Italy has opened their borders to a selected couple countries.
Repatriation flights. And I found out that our visa actually would allow us to get on one of those repatriation flights. Yes.
So we booked the first flight that got cancelled.
Yeah.
Then we booked another one, but it was a long process. There was so many phone calls, so many
airline tickets booked, so many. We at that stage we moved in with Andrew's parents. We wanted to be ready to if there was a flight open the next day, yes. We needed to be on that flight.
So eventually we got a flight the 24th of August, that was 2020.
Yeah.
It was so weird. So we had we weren't allowed to go to Otambo. So they dropped us off at a hotel in Joburg, in Sandton. Yeah. We got bused into the airport. We were the only people. There was like a Snoopy Tafel, a table in international departures. There was nobody, only our flight.
It was a very strange time to be traveling.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah, we arrived here in Italy. Luckily, our friends bought us some groceries. So we quarantined for 2 weeks. And yeah, then it's history from there.
Yes, like it sounds like a massive, massive journey. But so where did you land? Where did you land when you got to Italy?
So we could only land in Milan. And okay. And then from there on, we drove. It's about 3 hours with the car. We rented a car and we just drove to our friend's house. Like I said, luckily we had a friend here. She stocked the fridge for us. We weren't allowed to get into contact with anyone for two weeks. And so we basically just quarantined and waited it out.
Wow. Listen, but yeah, that sounds like one of the biggest challenges. Ever, probably in your life. It's a story that you'll probably share for how long ever. But I want to move to one of the other challenges, which I presume is a challenge at the moment. How fluent are you in Italian then at the moment?
So there's something that there's a line that we've learned, and we say, scusa, ma mio italiano non molto buono. And it just means my Italian is very bad. Please excuse me. But we live in a place where very few people speak English.
Okay, so you have to kind of know a few lines, yes. Or few words or...
Yes.
Yes. No, we can at this stage, 2 years later, we can help ourselves. We can have a very basic conversation in Italian in the present tense. As soon as someone moves into the past or the future, we try and keep it in the present. But our daughter is completely fluent in Italian, which helps really.
So there's just a quick story. So our daughter is, as Lizette said, fluent in Italian. And we had an issue with our taxes here in Italy. So we had to go to the equivalent of SARS. And we took our daughter with, but I can't remember why she was with us. Not to help us, just we couldn't, it was holiday or something, and she was with us. And for the life of us, we could not explain to this lady in Italian what's the problem.
I need... basically a new tax number, so that's all we needed to explain to her.
And we even got our friend that knows the problem, that's Italian, phoning this lady to explain the problem, and for the life of her they couldn't figure out what is the issue. So eventually our daughter, she was playing on a Nintendo console, not actually thinking what's happening. And she just pointed to this lady, Celestina, in Italian, this is an old surname, this is a new surname. You need to just swap these two around, issue the number, and it's done. So after 5 minutes, it was sorted.
I'll take her along next time. If I were you, I would have taken her along with any other issue that you might have elsewhere.
Yes, but she's very selective with how she wants to help. And I think she really enjoys the fact that she can speak a language that we sometimes don't understand.
Awesome. No, I can appreciate that. But other than the language, I mean, that's the one culture shock. You said, okay, let's get back to the slow living thing. You know, making your own food to wait, or making your own pasta. Let me start by asking, do you make your own pasta or pasta sauces, or what are you now actually doing that in the past you would get from Woolies off the shelf? What are you now actually not getting off the shelf, and what are you actually getting out of your own back garden? Mm-hmm. Or when I look at Italy, I see kind of community living almost. I'm not sure if I'm if I'm correct.
Yes.
Yeah, so maybe, just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I'm very lucky that I have a husband who is a great sourdough. He took up sourdough before COVID, not like everyone else in COVID. He's a great baker. He loves making pasta. So we're kind of, he's the baker, I'm the cook. So okay. it's a good mix. And we're very lucky that we've kind of been taken in by an Italian family. The American couple that we consulted with, they said to us, the Italians are so, they love family. You know, family is everything to them. And they don't like the idea of someone not having a family or being here alone. And they said, you'll see, someone's going to adopt you. And we did, we have a family adopt us, and we're very lucky that there's a nonna, a grandma, that is teaching us a lot about Italian food that we love. It's also one of the reasons we love Italy so much is the food.
But there's no recipes. It's all just, so we ask how much of this. She'll say enough. Or how long should it cook until it's done?
But we're lucky, we're learning how to make our own passata. We're learning. And it's also a place, it's not, a rich, yes, rich in farmland and Parmigiano, and there are rich farmers, but, they still have those lifestyle or kind of thinking that in the war, they had to be more prudent after the Second World War, things, food had to last longer. So there's still that mentality.
Don't waste anything, yeah.
Yeah, things don't get wasted, and you cook according to the season. So what's in the garden is what you cook. So if it's summer, it's tomatoes and zucchini. And if it's winter now, it's cauliflower and pumpkin and those kind of things. So we have really adopted that lifestyle of cooking what is in season. And our garden, our vegetable garden, has brought us immense joy. Growing everything and then learning what to do with it. And the quality of food is just of the highest standard.
Sure. That sounds amazing. Okay, so you've got your vegetable garden is bringing you joy. And so what... If I can then ask another question. So you talked about winter and summer and eating, with the seasons or eating what is in season. How are the seasons there? How harsh is winter and how harsh is summer? Is it really super hot where you guys are? And in winter, I can imagine it might, it can cool down quite drastically.
Well, one of the reasons why we love the area and I think chose the area where we live is that, the cities like Modena and Bologna, in summer they can go up to 40 degrees, and that's just kind of not the kind of heat that we want on a daily basis. But it is extreme. We had, a terrible heat wave all through Europe, and we were not spared that. But that said, we are about 4 or 5 degrees cooler than Modena, which is just an hour, but we are up in the hills and in the mountains. So we love that we have a little bit of a cooler summer and that we can spend that time here in the mountains. It's not really, it's not the Alps. We don't live in the Alps, you know, we live in the Apennine. It's more hilly and I would say mountainous.
Yeah.
But we do get snow in the winter. We get trapped. We live in a very secluded
house. You get trapped. You can't move on after just saying trapped and then just move on nonchalantly. Where do you get trapped?
Sandra, explain.
So we've got a small issue that we actually don't have an official driveway. So our driveway is, what, 700 meters long?
Yes.
And it's a dirt track up a hilly side and down a hillside. And with lots of rocks and mud if it's raining.
But I just have to add a disclaimer. So anyone who wants to come and visit our B&B, this is not the road you will be traveling to. we will be accessible to people in the future.
When it rains a lot, we can't park the car close to the house or when it snows. So when it rains, we need to park at the neighbor up deal. Okay, and then it's quite challenging if you go and buy your monthly groceries to kind of carry it down to the house. And when it snows, we can't get access to that section. Mm. Then we need to park down the hill and carry up all the shopping up the hill.
And our daughter has to walk that hill every day when we go to school. And if we get a really bad snowstorm or just a lot of snow, it's basically a snow day, and she doesn't go to school. And she doesn't go to school, and we bobsled down the hill for the rest of the day.
I mean, it sounds fascinating, but I must say it's a good thing for your wallet then, because you must then imagine, I'll have to carry the groceries up the hill or down the hill. So I'll just buy less stuff then. Or it doesn't work like that.
I wish that's the case. But the thing is, we need to buy enough groceries because we don't know if we'll be snowed in for a long time. So you need to make sure that you can kind of sustain yourself for a week on end that you've got enough food. Yeah.
I think Andrew was permanently scarred by COVID when we weren't allowed to buy stuff. And now he makes sure we're fully stocked all the time. With the staples.
It sounds like a different life, and I guess it is. But then, what do you guys, or not guess? From what you guys tell, it's absolutely fascinating. It is definitely a different life. What do you miss the most from South Africa? What is that one thing that if you could choose it, one thing that you can have in your life that you had in South Africa?
I guess it's family. Mm. It's the biggest thing, you know, not being there for the big events. Like my brother's daughter, she just went to her matric farewell, you know, those kind of things, and not seeing our parents. I think that has been really the hardest thing.
Yeah, it is. It's the same. I with everybody that we speak to, or all the friends and other expats that we come across, or whether it's at work or just somewhere else, it is a common theme. It's always family, you know. Bloed is dikker as water, you know. There's that thing. We always miss that. Okay, so you said in the future with the bed and breakfast or the Airbnb or however that business will look like. So is it set up at the moment? Do you host? Do you have an Airbnb at the moment then? Or is that still a future dream?
So that was the dream from the beginning, was kind of to share this little paradise with as many people as possible. Doing the cooking and just having, our dream is having people around the table from all over the world, just enjoying good food, good conversation, good wine, and just one of those nights that sticks in your memory forever. That's the dream for us. Unfortunately, the biggest challenge has been finding the right house.
So the challenge here is that Lizette will locate her house on the internet. So let's say there's a new house on the market, and it's actually stating that it's a freestanding house, or there's a specific term that says freestanding. And then after a lot of phone calls, and we eventually get an appointment to go and watch or have a look at the house. And then when we get there, only one floor is for sale because the other one belongs to the brother, that they don't talk to one another. and they're not selling both. So there's always these funny things that, oh, no, it's only this, so this room you can buy, but that room is somebody else's. So we want a full house,
We want the entire house for ourselves. So that has been challenging, and finding the right property to kind of like build this idea that we have in our head. And I think COVID has a lot to do with that as well. You know, we're all just coming, the world is just coming out of like recovery.
Yeah.
So we've kind of had to kind of like sit tight and just kind of let the storm, you know, go over us. And hopefully soon that B&B is going to happen, and then hopefully in the next year or so.
That's still the plan.
That is still very much the goal.
That's the goal, and it sounds like the dream as well.
Yes.
But that's, yeah, I mean, keep on dreaming and keep on, you know, chasing the dream, because it's very easy to give up on things. But I believe I hear in your voices and the passion, you know, that you guys have. But another thing we looked into, you know, not that our finances will allow it at the moment, but maybe in the future we hope to, say, buy a property, say, in Spain. And I read up on a few things also looking at the boundaries, you know, on the cadastre. I don't know what you call it in English. It's probably the same word.
Yes.
There's some discrepancies, and you really have to watch out when you buy properties in especially in countries where the language is so far off from your first language that you don't maybe understand all the terminologies and all of that. So that's maybe something to look out for.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Yeah. We've spoken to an Australian who is he's married to an Italian, and he gave us, he's a lawyer, and that he actually specializes in property. He gives property advice. We've got some great advice from him. We are also very lucky that our Italian friend, the Italian family that has taken us in, is what they call a geometra, which is a quantity surveyor, and each house has to, before it can be sold, a quantity surveyor has to go through it and tell you everything that's wrong with it. So we are lucky. We do know people in the right places. We are very scared of, we've heard terrible stories from other people who have bought, and it's kind of like a blank check and they end up with a lot of debt. But I hope that we are going into it with eyes wide open, but still with kind of, like you said, the passion that we still want to kind of do this crazy thing that we probably shouldn't be doing, but definitely want to do.
It definitely sounds like you guys are going in with open eyes. And no, I must say it's something that you have to do. I can hear the passion. So it's not something that you're going to turn away from. So, you know, just go for it and enjoy the journey. Guys, we're coming to a point where I have to just get the, you know, wrap it up. But from your point, if there is somebody out there that's also chasing a very, you know, it doesn't have to be slow living, but something completely different. You know, what you guys are doing are completely different to, let's say, what myself and my wife are doing. We moved to the Netherlands after we lived a time, you know, for a period in New Zealand, but we are still in corporate-ish jobs, and we still have pretty much routines that we could have had in South Africa to a degree. But if somebody, a listener out there, you know, if he or she or they or whoever, if they were to listen now, you know, what is the one tip that you would give them to actually chase this different style of expat life, or the slow living for that matter?
Sure. That's a hard question, Andrew.
You really would want of no.
You really need to want it,
yes.
I think. And you really need to be, I think there's a lot of people who want to change their lives, and they want, corporate is comfortable, very comfortable. It's security. And I do not like to advise. I've had my own business mishaps and had lost our family a lot of money. So I don't like to advise people like, give up everything and go and do it, because that's terrible advice. But I think for me and Andrew, what was great, because I am a dreamer, and he is the most practical person. But what was great is that we had this dream together. And when one of us was down, the other one was like, when one of us said, I can't do this, this is too hard, are we making a mistake? The other one was always there, no, you know, let's do it. We shouldn't give up on the dream. So we kind of balanced each other out and we inspired each other to carry yes. forward. And it was always, it wasn't just me who wanted to go and had to convince Andrew. It was just really kind of, we fell in love with a little piece of land that wasn't South Africa. And we didn't want to leave South Africa. It's just that we wanted to chase something different. And we found that place. Because I have a lot of people on Instagram also contact me and ask me, what do I need to do to leave the country? And I always say, but that's kind of the wrong mentality to have. Yeah. We had the dream and we fell in love with a little piece of land. And that led us here. And we kind of just inspired each other and kept each other honest and strong. And I think that's how we got here.
You can't do it on your own. You need support.
You need support.
You need to be motivated.
Yes.
And
yes.
you need, want to achieve that goal or that dream.
Because it's still hard. It's hard every day. You know, Italy is not an easy country to move to. The bureaucracy, whatever you heard, it's that and worse. It's that and worse. But we kind of said to each other that we've signed a contract with Italy. They will make it hard for us. But in return, if you look out our window, we have the most amazing view that every day we wake up to. And
it's hard, but we are allowed to stay and enjoy the country.
It's hard, but it's worth it.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. So many truths in that again, in that just a few words that you wrapped it up there. And the one thing that is it's something that comes back in this podcast quite often is running towards, or at least the theme that comes back is running towards a dream and not running away from issues in South Africa or elsewhere.
Absolutely. Yes. That's exactly awesome. Because you will run into problems in another country. It's just different problems.
Yes.
Like I said, it was never our goal. We never intended to leave, or it just so happened that this was kind of a lifestyle or dream we were chasing. And to quote a movie that someone quoted to us during this process was, if it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. Exactly. So it's the heart that it's the heart that makes it great, and it's the heart that makes it all worth it in the end.
Yeah, that makes it rewarding. It's definitely true. Yes. Now, Lizette and Andrew, thank you very much for your time. But before I let you go, I just quickly want to ask, is there on Instagram or somewhere else, even a website or a blog or somewhere where a listener can read up and if they are interested to go and research how you guys live and see some photos, where do they reach you?
Absolutely. So I'm a writer at heart. So I have a thing called Postcards from Italy. And it's on our website. It's www.whatsinitaly.whats is our surname, WATTS. In italy.com, and you can subscribe there to my newsletter. And then my drug of choice is Instagram, and there I make little videos about our life, and we love traveling as a family as well with our daughter. So I make little videos about our life, the food, the things we're learning, so people can go and follow me there. And then from there, there's also a link to subscribe to the newsletter. And then especially if people want to come and visit us and find out from us, what's the best places to go to in Italy in the meantime.
Oh, great. Now, well, I can promise you, myself and Laverne, we'll come and visit, and we want to enjoy good pasta, good red wine and homemade pasta, if I may. And I want to meet your nonna, if you don't mind.
Yes, she doesn't speak a word of English, but she's amazing and we love her, and
she's the best smile.
She has the best smile, the warmest smile. She's a stern little grandma, pasta granny, but her smile just kind of like lights up the world. It's beautiful.
I look forward to talking to her in smile language then. But thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for your time tonight and all the best on that side, and we'll be in touch, and I'm definitely going to sign up for the newsletter, and I hope all the listeners as well.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the opportunity and for letting us tell our story. We love to. Hopefully, we'll be telling it around the table with lots of people, lots of good wine, good music, and yeah, everyone is. We want to share this with as many people as possible. So, if you want to get in touch, get in touch.
Oh, great, thank you guys. Have a great evening.
Pleasure. You too. Thank you so much.
Ciao, ciao. Bye.